This message comes from NPR sponsor, Mattress Firm. Sleep hot. Mattress Firm's sleep experts can match you with a cooling mattress from the Tempur-Breeze collection from Tempur-Pedic, so you can experience measurably cooler sleep all night. Get matched at Mattress Firm's Memorial Day sale. Sleep at night.
Hey, y'all. You're listening to It's Been a Minute from NPR. I'm Brittany Luce. Summer is here, and one of the best things about summer is having long stretches of time to pick up something juicy to read.
A beach read just helps you escape. It facilitates that escape, you know, and it's part of that holistic pleasure that you have during the summers.
That's romance author Bolu Babalola, and she's joining me, along with fellow romance author Emily Henry, to talk summer book recs. Bolu and Emily are some of the biggest names in romance right now. Like, they're huge. So I knew I could count on them for some really good picks. And Emily has thought about this a lot. She even has a theory about what makes a good summer read.
You can be on a beach or at a pool with like so much stimuli around you, so much going on, and it will still pull you deeply into the story pretty quickly. It's funny because I feel like a lot of times those are like thrillers or romances. It's like the two things that you're like just needing the answer to a question. So it is like, who is killing me and all of my friends, or will they or won't they? You know, they're both questions that are pretty much established from the first chapter in those genres.
Today on the show, we'll be getting all their recs. And later, we play a dating game featuring literary hotties. Stay with us.
This message comes from NPR sponsor Homes.com. You don't just live in your home, you live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, local amenities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Is it possible to engineer our way out of the climate crisis? Some entrepreneurs want to shoot particles into the stratosphere to combat global warming. Experts say regulations on this technology aren't keeping up. The world of solar geoengineering on the latest episode of The Sunday Story from NPR's Up First podcast.
This message is brought to you by Wondery. In the climate-ravaged year of 2072, the city of Pura protects residents from global catastrophes, but a dark secret threatens Pura's very existence. Binge all episodes of The Last City ad-free right now on Wondery Plus.
Hey, I hear you have a birthday coming up. Yeah, you. If you're listening to this, that means you have a birthday coming up eventually. And here at Life Kit, we want it to be a special one.
Magic can happen and good luck can happen and serendipity can happen if we're open to it.
How to have a good birthday, even if you're not a birthday person. That's on the Life Kit podcast from NPR.
Emily, Bolu, welcome to It's Been a Minute.
Hi, lovely to be here.
Thank you for having us, Brittany.
So we are going to get into these recommendations that you both brought in a second. But first, I want the listeners to hear a bit more about your work. Can you tell our listeners a little bit about your latest books? Bolu, we'll start with you.
Yeah, so Honey and Spice is a collegiate romance set in a Southern British university within the ACS, which is an African Caribbean society. Within this little bubble is Kiki Banjo, who hosts a radio show where she gives romantic advice. All this advice kind of seems to be worthless when like a tall, dark, handsome, of course, guy wanders into the university under the name of Malachi Corriday, and all the girls seem to be in a tizzy over him and in pursuit of discovering what it is about this guy that makes her girls lose all their senses. She ends up, as you do, in a fake relationship with him. Their relationship develops from there, and she discovers what love is. But it's also just about friendship and Kiki learning to lower her guards and fall in love with her girls and her community and herself as well. Mm.
It's such a fun journey. The paperback edition of your book just came out. Is that right?
Yeah, in the UK, and it's coming out in the US on July the 5th, I believe.
Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. And Emily, how about you? Talk to us about your latest book.
So I do think Bolu and I were drinking like the same fake dating juice as we were writing these books. My last book, it just came out at the end of April, and it's called Happy Place. And it's the story of Wynn and Harriet, who've been together since college. And a huge part of their relationship has been that they have this shared friend group with whom they take a yearly trip to the coast of Maine. At the start of the book, Harriet is getting ready to go on this year's trip. When she gets there, she's going to come clean with their shared friend group that she and Wynn actually split up 5 months before the trip. Only when she gets there, Wynn is already there. And because they really want their friends to have that one last beautiful experience before they destroy the friend group, they decide we'll just hold off one more week on telling them that we are no longer together. So kind of like Honey and Spice, it's like it is this love story between a couple, but it's also very much about Harriet's best friends and just being in that phase of life where you're kind of growing in different directions from a lot of the people that you've been closest to and have to figure out what that means for your relationships and whether they can weather those changes.
Fake dating juice. If they bottle that, I want to drink it.
I know. I know. Same.
Oh, so you're both here with me today to talk all about summer reading. You've each brought a few recommendations. Mm-hmm. With that summer energy, what are some of the tried and true books you'd recommend to any friend looking for a juicy read on a nice day? Bolu, start us off.
So obviously, the first one has to be Happy Place, because I recently read that and I was completely enveloped by it, by the story. And I fell in love with the friendship group and it was just so lovely. And I think it's an excellent book to read while you're on holiday. And also it made me like appreciate the beauty in my friendships too. So yeah, that was one of my picks.
Oh, that's so amazing.
I'm honored.
You picked Emily's newest book. That is so beautiful. I love reading a good old Emily Henry book on vacation.
Totally.
There's one vacation where I was reading Beach Read and I was stayed up really late getting to a certain section of it. My husband was up, like he's playing a game on his phone and I was reading, and I sighed and I closed the book and I pressed it to my chest. My husband was like, are you okay? Like, is everything fine? And I was like, it's just too romantic.
Oh, thank you. That's so nice. Wow. I'm honored.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Emily, what is your first pick for a summer read? Bolu started us off strong. What's your first pick?
Well, I know. I'm like, well, I should have said Honey and Spice, but that does go without saying. So my first pick, I will go for the kind of thriller edge. And it's, you know, what we were talking about where there's this escapist element, even though there's a lot of murder and mayhem. And that would be Amanda Jayatissa's You're Invited. Mm. It's a mystery. What's going on? Who did it? All of that. But it also is set on this at this really luxe resort in Sri Lanka where there's this Sri Lankan wedding happening and the main character is going home to Sri Lanka for the first time in a few years and you don't know what made her flee before, but she's going back to see her former best friend marry her own ex-boyfriend. So there is a lot. It is juicy. It is kind of decadent feeling. It's like hot and sultry and it is just exactly what we've been talking about.
Ooh, you're best friend marrying your ex.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
That sounds pretty good. That sounds pretty good. Yeah. Oh my gosh. Bolu, what is your next pick?
Okay. So this book swept me off my feet last summer, and it's 7 Days in June, of course, by Tia Williams.
I read that one.
Yeah.
It's one of those books that like, I threw the book across the room at one point because I was just overwhelmed. I was just like, I was just losing my mind over it. It's so romantic and it's so sexy. And you know, when you're falling in love with the guy as you're reading it, was one of those books. So it's about two old flames who reunite after 15 years. They were kind of childhood sweethearts, but with a twist, because their whole love story happened over 7 days. And then the guy disappeared. Now they're both famous authors. One is a romance author and one is more literary fiction. Mm-hmm. And they're thrown together through, you know, a series of circumstances. And it's basically a second chance romance. But what's so beautiful is that it talks about the gravity of teenage love. You know, I feel like is seen as a very frivolous thing, a very lighthearted marshmallow thing. But I think the fact that it has carried, it stayed with them their whole lives. They've evolved in so many ways, and yet their love has evolved with them. And also, crucially, it's extremely hot. Like, very, very spicy. You think everyone will enjoy it.
I read that one last summer. I listened to it on audiobook. I had to do the equivalent of, I guess, the audio equivalent of throwing a book across the room, or I would pause it and scream.
Oh, my gosh.
Pause it and scream. I wonder, like, you know, to that point, Bolu, like, you mentioned that this book seems to take teenage romance seriously, which I agree. It's something that's not always taken seriously, even though you're having big, legitimate feelings when you're at that age, right? Why should we pay more attention to it as a serious topic in literature?
I think that if we listen to teenage romance and what it teaches us, it really teaches us about ourselves and our instincts. And I think the older we get, the less we listen to our instincts. It's so powered by impulse. And I think that's a really beautiful thing that we forget, you know. Often we think that, oh, falling in love in 2 weeks as an adult is impossible. Obviously, there's layers to love and it happens in stages. But that initial spark, the ignition that it takes to kind of birth love, I think can happen very quickly, you know, and I think adulthood can make us forget that.
That's such a beautiful sentiment. Emily, I'd love to get your thoughts on this. How do you feel about how we think about teen romance in literature and also in real life?
Yeah, a big part of the reason I like writing romance is I think romance is a really natural way to force a coming of age on someone, because I think when you are falling in love, you're so vulnerable. And every single trigger you have will probably get hit at some point. And so it's like one of very few ways, I think, that you can find yourself forced to grow and to confront your past in a way. And when you see a love that can change its shape and adapt as you change and adapt, I think that's really, really beautiful and something that we crave as people, because a lot of our relationships can't withstand that kind of transformation. And so when you look at a book like 7 Days in June, that's just something that's so beautiful and that we all long for, is just people that we can stick to, people that will still make sense in our lives, even when we look very different from how we might look today.
All right. Wow. Another great pick from Bolu. Emily, give us another pick.
I would love to talk about This Time Tomorrow by Emma Straub, which just came out in paperback a couple weeks ago. It's kind of, to me, it's sort of a perfect read because it's a little bit of everything. Like, it's a little bit of a time travel story, a little bit of a romance, a little bit of like a family saga. Basically, the premise is this main character is turning 40, and the night of her 40th birthday party, she has this weird experience and wakes up back in her bedroom at age 16, and her dad is the age, you know, I know.
Nightmare.
It's like, I know, you're like, it is a nightmare. But because she's just turned 40, she's also having this reckoning where she's thinking, like, did I choose right? Should I have done things differently? And so she goes back to 16 and she's kind of like, all right, well, here's, you know, the romances I didn't pursue, and here are the friendships that I messed up, and all of that. But more than any of it, she goes back in time and her dad is young. Her dad is much younger than he is now. He's ailing in the present timeline. And it really, beyond everything else, is a love story about a father and a daughter, and about, did you use the time with the people that you love as well as you could have? And it was so beautiful. It made me cry. It was one of those books where I wanted to not do anything but read it. But like, my parents were texting, like, do you want to come have a barbecue? And I'm like, yes, yes, I have to go have a barbecue. I have to like make the right decision here.
Oh my gosh. Oh, that's so beautiful. Huh, Bolu, next pick. Y'all are on a roll. Bolu, what's your next pick?
Mine is You Made a Fool of Death with Your Beauty by Craig A. Mazie. That is a gorgeous, gorgeous book. It's one of the most exquisitely written books I've ever read. Again, it is a love story. This time it's about a widow. This is a very hard book to talk about without spoiling, because there's like a huge, messy twist in it. But the main character, Faye, she's healing from grief, and she thinks she can't find love again. She's dating a guy. This is not a spoiler. She dates a guy and she thinks this is it. You know, this is the cap of the kind of love that I want. I mean, it's nice. It's pleasant enough. It's fun, but it's not deep. And the person that it is deep with is somebody that she shouldn't necessarily go there with, but she does. I may not necessarily agree with it. I mean, it's a very, like, people have different opinions about, you know, whether she should have gone there or not. The thing that people agree with is that it's a very, very beautiful love. It's a love that's just so naked and pure and no preconceptions with each other. And it's about love as a liberating force.
Ooh, I wonder what you mean by that when you talk about having like this love that's like raw and pure.
Because it's so, I think because they meet each other not seeing each other as potential lovers. It's like the dating apps, right? When you meet somebody through a dating app, you have this kind of performance that you do, this dance that you do, the cooler version of right. yourself. Whereas where, because they met each other, not knowing in their head they weren't supposed to see each other that way, they were able to just be completely themselves. There was none of that pretense, which allowed themselves to know each other fully. And I think sometimes the performance of romance can get in the way of romance itself. Hmm. I remember when I met my boyfriend, I was totally not in the space to meet anyone. And so when I met him, we were having these cool, like, frank conversations. I was seeing him just as a friend. And then the romance happened because in my head, I wasn't pretending to be like the cool, you know, the one-liners. I mean, the one-liners happened anyway, because I'm naturally extremely witty. I'm joking. But I wasn't thinking of, how do I position myself to like seem like the cool, aloof girl? You know, I was completely emotionally naked. And I think this book, and because of the circumstances within which they meet, allows for that to happen.
I am excited to check that one out.
I just need everyone to read this book because the twist twists very well.
You were twisted by the twist.
I was twisted by the twist.
That is enough of an endorsement for me personally. Emily, bring us home. One more pick.
One more pick, and I'm sticking with this kind of intense emotional romance theme. I think that's what this summer is all about. So I would love to recommend to anyone who's not read it yet, Kennedy Ryan's Before I Let Go, which is so beautiful, so emotional. It's also a second chance romance, which I feel like is a kind of subcategory that I'm really careful about because it always is like innately tricky and messy. But this book is such a gorgeous version of that. It's about a couple who run a restaurant in Atlanta, and they were married for years and they have a couple of kids, and some tragedy has unfolded in their life that's ended with them getting a divorce. And they're still really great co-parents and business partners and all of that, but the trust is just totally broken there. They both kind of think, you know, it's time to move on. And then the moving on kind of triggers some of the old feelings. And it is just so beautiful. It's a gorgeous depiction of therapy, which for anyone who's read my books knows I like love a romance with therapy in it. Huge fan of that. And the leads are just both feel so real. And I think it's kind of fun to just read about couples who are like further along in their relationship in their lives, but still having this beautiful, sexy, life-changing love story unfold between the two of them.
That one's been on my list for a while. I haven't read it yet.
Oh my gosh, you'll love it.
I am so excited to dig into that one. And I know a lot of our listeners will be as well.
Oh my gosh, my pleasure.
Had a great time.
Would both of you mind sticking around to play a little game?
Of course.
Sure.
Coming up, we play a game called Bookish Babes. Stay with us.
I'm Jesse Thorne. Why did Cola Scola write a bonkers, extremely fictionalized play about Mary Todd Lincoln?
Well, you know, it was 2020 and we were all so isolated. I just started doing research. But the truth is, I just thought of it.
We'll talk about that and more on Bullseye from MaximumFun.org and NPR.
Okay, close your eyes for a second. Now imagine you're on your dream vacation. No work calls to answer, no text messages to respond to, just your suitcase and an opportunity.
The opportunity to just take yourself out of your routine and travel deeper.
How to actually take that dream trip. That's on the Life Kit podcast from NPR.
On Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, we have very important people on our show and then ask them about very unimportant things. Here's U.S. Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen.
We are also reliably informed that among your enthusiasms, in addition to macroeconomic policy, is mobile games.
There is some truth in that.
There's some truth in that. Join us for the NPR podcast that considers all the other things. That's Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Summer is for going to the movie theater because it's too hot to stay home. It's for driving with the windows down, listening to your favorite music. It's for stretching out while you're on vacation to gobble up a TV show. For a guide to some of the TV, movies, and music we are most excited about this summer, listen to the Pop Culture Happy Hour podcast from NPR.
All right, Emily, Bolu, we're about to play a game called Bookish Babes. We've taken a few literary hunks, and we're going to pit them against each other for a few different date scenarios. And you both have to pick who you are taking on the date and why. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
I love this.
There's no way to win or lose. Well, there's no way to lose the game. I think we all win. Are y'all ready to get started?
Yeah, I'm excited.
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, wonderful. Okay, so for our first date, this one is for the adventurous girlies out there. Would you rather go on an escape the room date with Khal Drogo, the beefy tribe leader from the Song of Ice and Fire series, or Mr. Darcy from Pride and Prejudice? Who are you escaping the room with? Bolu, we'll start with you.
Okay. I would choose Khal Drogo because I just feel like he would just smash everything. And so we would get through it quickly. I think Darcy would be very methodical about it, but annoyingly so, and wouldn't listen to your advice. So I think Khal Drogo.
All righty. I love that answer. Emily, what about you?
Yeah, I feel like for the exact same logic, I'm just thinking about the claustrophobia of being in a locked room with a man who hates your family and thinks you're tolerably handsome. And I also agree, Khal Drogo would just like, yeah, he would just like rip the door off the hinges. You're fine.
All right. I'm loving the reasoning behind this. I'm in full agreement. On to our next date. This is for sussing out the tastes of your potential partner. Would you rather go on a thrifting date with Jay Gatsby from The Great Gatsby or Robin Hood from The Merry Adventures of Robin Hood? This one, I had a controversial answer for this one, and I would exaggerate in saying that it tore our team apart in discussing this. Emily, what are your thoughts?
Oh my gosh. Well, I do totally think that Jay Gatsby would technically be the better thrift shopper. I think he would like know the brands better than I do. But I think I still would rather go with Robin Hood because ultimately Robin Hood is hotter.
Yeah.
Wait, canonically Robin Hood is hotter than
Yeah. Yeah. Jay Gatsby. Specifically the Fox Robin Hood.
Oh my God, same Emily.
Yes, everybody wants that
the Fox. Fox Robin Hood.
Canonically hot.
100%.
Thank you, Bolu.
In fact, when you said Robin Hood, I thought of the Fox. I can't lie.
Wow. Okay. Wow. You shook the table with that one. Bolu, it sounds like you agree the animated Fox version of Robin Hood is canonically hotter.
Yeah, absolutely.
Than Jay Gatsby. But is that who you would rather go thrifting with?
I do have to choose Robin Hood just because I think he would be more resourceful and would have like an eye for like those spots in the corner and know the hidden bits. You know, I think Gatsby would choose like the obvious ones. Whereas Robin Hood, I don't know. He's in my head as a bit of a hipster thrifter.
Yeah, for sure.
And has cooler style. I think Gatsby is just very designer heavy, you know, just very, it could be very tacky.
Now we need Brittany's answer because we know that she thinks her answer was controversial and it's seeming like ours are.
My answer was Jay Gatsby.
Okay.
My answer was for the reasons that you outlined. Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm like, okay, I guess you all went into this thinking about like the focus of romance, which is fair. I was thinking like, I'm like, who's going to get me the finest cashmere? Who's going to help me get those like Scottish cable knit sweaters? Yes. But also the other thing is that Jay Gatsby, at the end of the day, is a scammer. And Robin Hood is a good guy. So maybe you all actually made the better choice than I did. So I'm not going to change my answer.
I just feel like in the romance montage of us thrifting together, I feel like I would have more fun with Robin Hood, you know?
Yeah. I can see Bolu throwing her head back, like laughing. Right. Like they're just having a great time. They're trying on like glasses from the 70s.
Yeah, like silly hats, you know.
Yeah.
All right. Next date is a more erudite one. Would you rather go to a history museum date with Jesus from the Bible or Christian Grey from 50 Shades of Grey? I already knew my answer. But who are you gazing at artifacts with, Bolu?
Definitely Christian Grey. First of all,
Christian Grey?
Yeah, because I actually don't think Jesus was canonically hot. I think that if Jesus was hot, I feel like it would be easy to be like, yeah, worship him. The whole point is that like people were like, should I worship this guy? Like you can worship, yeah. It's so easy to worship a hot guy, which is why
that's a good point.
Right?
Oh my gosh, Bolu, you're blowing my mind right now. I'm like thinking about all the cult documentaries I've watched and it's like those people are not even close to hot and they've got a lot of followers.
Mm. Exactly. So I think Kristen Gray, defile a few monuments with him. I don't know. Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
You know what also too, I hate to be all like, I don't know, city girls about it, but Christian Grey is rich.
Yeah.
Jesus was not about being a baller.
No, he wasn't. Exactly. He'd probably buy like a price like piece of art for me, you know? Like
I hadn't thought about that. I originally was like, oh, I'm going with Jesus. Because Christian Grey, sometimes he stressed me out. But that is interesting. That is interesting.
Oh
okay,
gosh.
Okay. Emily, what about you? You go into the history museum with Jesus or Christian Grey?
I am I'm so delighted that this moment is finally coming when somebody's asking me this very specific question. I still am reeling from finding out that Jesus probably wasn't hot because in my mind, Jesus has always been a hottie. But I think I would still go with Jesus. Like, I mean, I would be nervous about going with either of them to the history museum.
That's true.
I would not know how to act right around either of those people, but from a sheer curiosity standpoint, especially if it's like you're going through like some, you know, ancient history, maybe Jesus knows some stuff that like the curators don't even know.
It's a more mature perspective from Jesus.
Right?
Yeah.
Right. So Bolu and I can double date to the museum is what I'm learning.
It'll be cute.
This is, that's actually a really good point. If you have different answers, you can double date. Last date. They're both more like legends than literary hotties, but the stories still remain. Who cares? We're not going to get into semantics with all this. Would you rather go on a roller skating date with Hercules or Mulan? Bolu, what say you?
Oh my gosh. I have a thing for himbos. And I feel like a roller skating date is the perfect time for a himbo to shine. I think he'll have fun with it. I think he'll catch me when I fall. He'll make me laugh. And I feel like Mulan is like, she's very serious. Mm. Rightly so. You know, she's fighting for her people. But I think Hercules, just, I feel like it'll just be so much fun. And he's like, he just is a beautiful airhead. So I just feel like it's the right place for us to have a great date.
Roller skating with a himbo. On a Saturday night. That actually sounds like a really good plan.
So much fun.
Your next book.
Yeah. Your next book.
It's the title of my next book. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Oh, Emily, what about you?
Oh my gosh.
Roller skating date with Hercules or Mulan?
Bolu's logic is flawless. However, I think Mulan is also so athletic and strong and powerful.
That's what I said.
That I feel like she would be like wiping the floor with everyone. Mm. And I don't know that I could have a lasting relationship with either of them because I just think, you know, one's too intense and one's not intense enough. But I think I would go with Mulan. I think I would feel like this is my one shot. This is my one shot to be with someone like this. So, yeah.
I already was thinking Mulan because I was like, okay, she's coordinated. Mm-hmm. She's a warrior. I know that Hercules is too, but I feel like Mulan has more grit.
Yeah, I feel like Mulan's more graceful.
Yeah.
Mulan's more graceful. And one of the things I said when this question was posed to me when we were prepping for this conversation was that Hercules is top heavy. And I think he's going to be falling a lot. He's got that big, big chest. And I think that could come in handy, like, say, after the roller skating date.
Right.
But during the roller skating date, I'm like, am I going to be picking you up a lot? Are you going to be falling over? We don't know. We don't know.
So a double date with you guys as well.
Yeah. I think we can make this work. I think the three of us and our two partners can make this work.
Absolutely. I think definitely. Absolutely can make that work. Oh, well, that was Bookish Babes. Thank you both so much for playing with me.
Thank you.
Emily, Bolu, thank you so much for coming on. It's been a minute.
Thank you for having us, Brittany.
Had a great time.
Thanks again to authors Bolu Babalola and Emily Henry. Their latest books, Honey and Spice and Happy Place, are out now. This episode of It's Been a Minute was produced by
Barton Girdwood,
Alexis Williams,
Liam McBain,
Corey Antonio Rose.
Our editor is
Jessica Plachek.
Engineering support came from
Patrick Murray.
Our executive producer is
Verilyn Williams.
Our VP of programming is
Yolanda Sanguini.
Our senior VP of programming is
Anya Grundman.
All right. That's all for this episode of It's Been a Minute from NPR. I'm Brittany Luce. Talk soon.
This message comes from NPR sponsor Discover. Get the service you deserve. With 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
There are a lot of issues on voters' minds right now. Six big ones could help decide the election. Guns, reproductive rights, immigration, the economy, healthcare, and the wars overseas. On the Consider This podcast from NPR, we will unpack the debates on these issues and what's at stake. You can listen to NPR's Consider This wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Rachel Martin. You probably know how interview podcasts with famous people usually go. There's a host, a guest, and a light Q&A. But on Wildcard, we have ripped up the typical script. It's a new podcast from NPR where I invite actors, artists, and comedians to play a game using a special deck of cards to talk about some of life's biggest questions. Listen to Wildcard wherever you get your podcasts, only from NPR.